Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. It's Monday evening, and of course, Edwin is once again with me. Edwin, how are you going?
I'm doing fine, Martin Martini. How are things there in over there in your part of the world?
Yeah, pretty good. Actually, we've got the automation working a bit better. I haven't got it completely fixed up yet, but I've stuffed my cable through the hole. We've now got a whole bunch coming through, pretty much filled up the hole. So we're definitely making progress towards having a studio that's fully working. I can push a few buttons and get stuff done now, whereas previously it was all steam powered.
Well, now you can send your resume to Mervac. They want more construction workers, Martin. They want you to migrate back, to come back. The property market in your old part of the world is going to shit. So they, after you left, so now that everyone wants you back, Martin, because prices are dropping down there in Thirroul. Mervac wants more little brothers and little sisters, and you can be a little uncle at to join the construction industry, because they just don't have enough to build, they say.
Well, I've got a saying for you: sticky is, sticky does.
Well, we were talking about sticky substances last week, and then now we're hearing about the my translation is shit government policies in, and only sticky substances come out at the other end, right? So I mean, stupid is, stupid does. This is Melbourne for you. So now they want to put a fixed rentals, and I want to tax the people wanting to go down to Melbourne and take advantage of the Airbnb. I mean, look, it all sounds good on paper, right? It all makes sense on paper, but at the end of the day, I can only see the for sale listing numbers rise and the evacuation index from Melbourne to New South Wales increasing. And property prices in New South Wales continue to rise because we're going to get more Melbournians wanting to live here. It's just madness, Martin. What are your thoughts?
Well, it is interesting, right? Because they've cancelled the Commonwealth Games down in Victoria, although I'm not sure that the price ticket was as big as perhaps the politicians have been presenting. And they're going to spend a bit of that on housing, etc., etc. But if I look at the data in my surveys, I'm getting definite sense of a twitchiness from Victorians. And, there's the question about where do we go? What do we do? Of course, Queensland was the target for some time. But my theory is that Queensland might be a little less interesting now. So New South Wales is the obvious target.
Look, you do. It always has been. Historically, it always has been. I mean, we stand all the lows. And at the end of the day, it's this is where the jobs markets are, right? I mean, property prices are rising, but look, at the end of the day, this is it. Where else can you go? Where else do you go? I mean, I just love New South Wales. You can only guess. But I'll tell you what's going to happen down in Melbourne, Matt. I'll tell you what my thoughts are with the investors bailing out and they're. I can see a big migration, which you and I have been discussing, that we've seen here in the Sydney property market as well, in the rental arena. And that is the landlords are going to migrate their properties from your traditional property management portfolios to self lettings, owner lettings, and because they're going to move more towards your budget accommodation. And look, albeit that even if you've got a private letting or you're managing the property yourself, in the traditional method of letting as your traditional real estate agency, your fixed term lettings and so forth, where it's you're renting the whole property to a person, an individual, a couple, a family under a fixed term lease. Well, then you still come under the regulations, right? But what a lot of people are going to do, I feel, is that they're going to fly under the radar. And if they're going to keep the properties down there, they're going to really take them off the main portals. They're going to take them off the hands of the real estate agents, and they're going to be there's going to be a lot more private lettings. And look, it doesn't work. The private letting things, as much as I've been criticized on social media platforms and everywhere else, that I'm not fully convinced that private landlords, albeit there are arguments for private landlords making a better property managers, but at the end of the day, I still lean more towards your traditional side of lettings. But so what happens is, what I've seen over the 27 years in real estate is from the private sector, tenants really get more, perhaps the word, the perhaps I could use the terminology, get more abused, and they confront more issues under a private letting. And in this case, when you're going leaning more towards your budget accommodation, which is even more hazardous, and it's more prickly as it is. So they're my thoughts. If they're not going to sell, I would say that they're going to go into the private letting ledger, and we're going to see a lot less of your traditional poor leases on the portals.
Well, I think that's right. And of course, interestingly, they're talking about a tourist tax, and they're also talking about rent rise freezes, both of which, of course, is going to reduce potentially the supply of rental accommodation. And what's fascinating to me is just how serious this crisis has become so quickly. And, really none of the reactions I've seen from politicians really are fit for purpose in terms of tackling it. And I agree, property investors aren't stupid. We're already seeing a bit of an uptick in investment property listings, and we'll come on to that a bit later. So, if you can't make a buck and you're an investor, what do you do? Well, you actually go somewhere else. And with term deposits at 5% now, that's pretty much risk-free, right, in terms of returns relative to 2 or 3% returns on an investment property, if you're lucky, assuming capital appreciation rises. Doesn't surprise me that we're seeing this this whole shift. I think this is going to turn the property market further on its head.
Look, it is. And the ones that are tougher are the majority of the people that are renting, simple as that. It's the younger generation, single parents that are out there struggling to get tenancy. You've got people with disabilities, people with pets. I mean, they're the ones that really suffer, right? Because there's going to be, I can just see more and more of a shortage, because also. There's going to be a migration from your typical rental accommodation into share accommodation. And I mean, and last week we spoke about a property in the West we wanted to show our followers with what some of the ethnic groups do to properties in order to maximize the rental return. Because look, let's face it, with a lot of the ethnic groups, their appetite is still very strong and leans more favorable towards owning a property, as long as they can get a better yield, a better return, in order to cover their expenses. And this is what I'm saying, Martin, is this private lettings and this shift towards budget accommodation is really going to be more detrimental to the rental population, and the governments don't see it. I don't understand why they don't see it. And obviously this is stoked and fueled by the immigration policies that we've got on hand. And I mean, everybody seems to be to have their eyes shut, their ears closed, and not listening and not seeing what the current migration policies is really doing to the market, the rental arena, as well as the first time buyers that want to jump into the market. So I've sent you some videos of the dwelling. One of the videos shows the old home, the old original two-bedroom home, at the front of the prop at the front of the property, and then you can actually see as I walk down the side of the house, Martin, you can actually see the add-ons over the course of the years, from your painted old brickwork to your fibro, then to more brick, then to fibro again. So you go two bedrooms, three bedrooms, three bedrooms, one bedroom, and then right at the back in the shed that they're trying to convince me that it's an approved two-bedroom granny flat, is the shed right at the back of the block. And this is what some ethnic communities do to properties in order to maximize their rental return to the yield, in order to keep them, in order to justify them not putting the money into those term, those fixed term deposit that you're talking about, or any other investment vehicle, because they feel a lot more comfortable with owning bricks and mortar.
Is it true that Dustin and Evan are going down the same route? It looks to me as though they probably are.
Oh, they are. They're trying it out. We're trying out all sorts of high rise, build to rent. We'll see how high we go and how many we can fit, Martin. But yeah, they're trying it out. I mean, they're just copycats. They really are copycats. They're just copying what Jose and the little chickens are doing in the chicken coop. They're already almost finished the penthouses, and Dusty and Evan just a little bit jealous, so they want to go high as well. I think they're a little bit Lebanese. So
good. Now let's talk about the WeChat chats, because the Chinese 5-year plan is add a new income stream.
Yeah, that's right. That's what's been talked about of late, is this 5-year plan that they're all it's just a philosophy of belief within the community that every 5 years, they meant, individuals or partnerships in terms of, lifelong partners are meant to, they look and they get encouraged into creating a new income stream every 5 years. And this is what I've been saying over the last few weeks, because this has been hot in the WeChat chatter. To a lot of them, this 5-year plan is this year. Hence the reason why I've been saying that, and I believe that there's a second wave of buying. The mainstream media are talking about what you and I've been discussing for a while now, that a lot of the investment, your traditional investment properties, were going to be put on the market. It's only the AFR, with Larry and talking about the Ray White reports, what they're reporting, how a lot of properties investors are putting the properties on the market. They're only just talking about it now. I think a topic that we were discussing before. So what they're saying, Martin, is they're saying, well, whilst people are offloading their properties because they are not getting the right yields in order to cover the mortgages, they're buying them. And of course, we know why they're buying them. You and I have been discussing it for a while now. They're buying them because they've got a different method of putting them out to market, which is your budget accommodation. Now, so that's the 5-year plan, is to increase, to create a new income stream every 5 years in your life in order to retire successfully. Now, with the local WeChat chatters, if you also recall, Martin, last week we spoke about the what was happening over in Lidcombe and how the WeChat chatters were saying, if you got investment properties in Lidcombe, sell, because they're going to be building a waste disposal centre there, and it was going to Lidcombe was going to stink to high heaven, and lo and behold, it was only over the weekend that Channel 9 put out a report. So again, the WeChat chatter, local WeChat chatter index was ahead of its days, Martin, ahead of its time.
Well, I reckon they must be watching our show, Edwin, because we make the news here, right? People just eventually catch up, either weeks or months later, right? Because we've got our finger on the pulse.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, the chatter is, look, the chatter is very significant. I mean, we pay very close attention to it, obviously, for the purpose of our, my business, our business with the team. And it's to help our clients make the right decisions and assist them in buying and not chase and not go toe-to-toe with the little aunties or developers. This is part of the part of the back end research that we do. We pay close attention to it because they are a very strong investment group, and made up of many, many smaller groups throughout Sydney, and they've got a very strong appetite for property. Following suit with the local and overseas chatter, I mean, we've got a client there that's part of the Chinese community, and he's tried to refer us to one of his friend's friends, and because he said to him, look, they helped me basically get a great deal for our his purchase. They can help you get a better deal on your friend's properties, blah blah blah. And I mean, it's all there. I'll put it up on Twitter. And this is what the comeback was. You know, the issue with the four day. Is easy money. That's the basically new money, or the second generation to the wealthy Chinese that are predominantly living here in Australia, right? They are buying, and they don't care what they pay for it. They're buying it if they like it. And this is the kind of money that's here. It's all up there on that tweet that I put up there, the conversation. And this is in response to the article that the AFR that Larry put up over the weekend with regards to investors selling their properties because the return isn't really covering the mortgages. But I put out a tweet in response to that to Larry, and I said, well, the next question that needs to be asked, or perhaps the next article that needs to be written, is who's buying those investment properties that others are selling, apart from your people that just can't wait on the sidelines anymore, and your people that, your local Aussies that want to have security for the future, and they just jump in, is the WeChat chatterers and the community, because they do unbelievable things to properties in order to really squeeze blood out of the stone.
Yeah, well, it's about milking the asset, isn't it? And, if you've got the facility to do that, then you can, as we've said, make a different economic argument from just a typical family buying a property. And that's going to put a significant pressure on properties in certain areas. And a lot of this is below the waterline. You know, one of the things that we keep coming back to is if you do private letting, and you don't go through the formal processes, or if you do changes to properties that actually aren't ever, going through the certification processes, you can get away with murder. Eventually, you might get caught up, but in the meantime, you're going to be able to create significant, financial returns for a good number of years. And so there are a lot of people sailing very close to the regulatory winds, or probably doing stuff which is, well, frankly, illegal.
Yeah, look, and this is what distorts the market, right? But I mean, you got to go again. We go back and ask the question: what's fueling all this? But for the immigration policies that what you and I say that the fix was in since 2019, and we're here, and really, in our team's opinion. Yeah, we believe that we haven't really scratched the surface of what's to come. There's a lot more coming, and at the moment we're not building enough. We're not building enough to sustain the population growth. And more to the point, the population growth in the main capital cities of the eastern states, right? So this is we can talk about the market in general. We can talk about the CoreLogic numbers increasing in general. But what we focus on is the main cities, the main commercial hubs in the eastern states, and this is where a lot of this plays out, and this is where the majority of the population is. Yeah, you can we're going to be keeping a close eye for our shows. Purposes, not because we do business down in Melbourne, but I think that's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward with all these proposed changes to the rental accommodation and rentals fixing the rental increases to 2 years and so forth. We're going to see what happens and what the investors do and what happens to the market there. But look, knee-jerk reactions, the first thing that a number of people will do is they will put the properties on the market. We'll probably see a swelling of for sale listings in your traditional, in your more rental markets, traditional rental markets there in Melbourne. And yeah, we'll probably see an increasing numbers based on knee-jerk reactions without waiting until the government put out the policy and pass it through Parliament, right? So it's a wait and see. But look, at the end of the day, unfortunately, the ones that continue to suffer are the local Aussies that just want a place to call home at, and you know, for themselves, for the young families, for the elderly parents that because where else can they go? I mean, other than going further out and beyond over the mountains back to Bourke and Whoopwood, I don't know.
No, well, that's certainly a very concerning situation. And you mentioned Mervac earlier on. Let's just go back over that again in a bit more detail, right? Because basically, you know, Mervac is welcoming, of course, migration, but they want to bring a lot of people with construction skills to be able to build the properties that the migrants are actually going to live in, you know, and they're going to help build the things they live in, which is a bit of a sort of, hang on a moment, that's a bit of a sort of a reinforcing circle if I've never seen one. And then, of course, the HIA says, well, these high cash rates, they're absolutely killing the ability to be able to build. And what that means is essentially, again, they're saying that supply is a real issue. Now, of course, all of those in the construction sector, they are driven by the idea of building more stuff, right? Build more stuff, because that's what their business is. So, of course, they're going to be biased in the way that they present all of this. And the bottom line, I think, is that clearly the winners in all of this migration drift, you know, 700,000 over 2 years, will be the construction sector, one way or the other, because it gives essentially them access to more cannon fodder. They can sell stuff to more people, and that's, of course, what they want to do. But is it good for Australia, and is it good for the local communities in which they're building? And what is about the quality of what's being built? I mean, there are some really, really big questions, and I don't think that high migration necessarily makes a lot of strategic sense.
Yeah, and of course you're going to get these calls, and this is what I'm saying. The unfortunate thing is, Martin, is somebody needs to go to Mervac. I'm hoping that Pete, that put up that tweet there on Twitter, I'm hoping that he'll have connections with Mervac. I've put another tweet out, and I said, Pete, maybe you need to go and tell Mervac that the new migrants that are coming in, they don't want to go into the they don't want to get into the construction industry. Yeah. I mean, and you and I spoke about this a few months ago, right? Because they don't. I mean, you ask them, you talk to the people, you talk to the ethnic groups that are coming, talk to a number of families, relatives, and they're all focused on they're all focused on finance, focused on IT, focused on retail, hospitality, education, medical. But you barely hear them saying, oh yeah, I want to become a gyp rocker, or I want to become a bricky's laborer, God forbid. It's they really don't, they don't want to go there. They don't want to gravitate towards that, towards the construction industry, and things are only going to get, as I said in one of the earlier tweets and my predictions that I put out, I believe that construction was going to increase by another 20% this year. A lot of people say now with the new migrants coming in, the prices are going to go down. Look, labor has gone down, but the contract price hasn't. If anything, the contract prices have gone up. I mean, I've sacked a painter in one of the projects last week, right? So he was doing a job on a property, and he quoted $9,000 plus materials. In this last week that we've been trying to get another contractor in, I mean, we're getting quotes from $15,000 to $20,000, Martin. And we keep on asking the painting teams, and we've interviewed upwards of about five or six teams, and they can't fit us in straight away. We've got to wait on top of that. And the reason being is because a lot of your Asian, your typical little brothers and little sisters, tradie groups, they're being absorbed by the state government infrastructure. There's a couple of big projects happening around Liverpool, around the Liverpool Hospital, Blacktown, and a lot of the other hospitals. There's a lot of happening. There's a lot happening in Newcastle, in Newcastle and Gosford as well, from government departments. And so they're being absorbed into those areas. So if you want them, if you need them, you're going to pay through the nose. And we go back to what Mervic is asking for, but regardless of how many more you bring in, how many more migrants you bring in, the unfortunate thing, Martin, is like we said before, months ago, and said that this new migrant migrants, they don't want to gravitate towards the construction industry. And on top of that, as you said, so rightly said, HIA are also making the point of the cash rate being enormous. I mean, we talk about the construction cost and also the cash rate for boroughs that are buying the house and land packages, and then the bank gives them the construction funding. But that's when you start talking about the development funding, you start talking 9%, 15%, 17%, 22% for some of the mezzanine funding that a lot of the developers get in order to finish the project so they can get occupation certificate and get the rest of the money. I mean, things are going, and hence the reason why we're going to hear more developers and more builders going bust, because they can't sustain the costs, Matt. And then on top of that is what the subject that we brought up last week, which is really the shoddy construction and all the other chickens that are coming home to roost now because of all the shoddy construction over the last 10 years that is just falling to bits, and it just becoming buildings, high-rise developments are just becoming uninhabitable, and that creates more demand. So where do we go, Martin? Where do we go, and what do we do? I mean, it's just until the governments have really got to sit back and look at it, have a more of a helicopter view of what they're doing, as opposed to just trying to win votes. Because I mean, the more planes that come in with migrants, I mean, welcoming, when we're not racist, welcome them in. I mean, we came as migrants when in 1974 as well, at the end of the day, how many more do you bring in without having the infrastructure, without having the housing, without having, I mean, there's another article with regards to universities calling out for locals, asking the locals to, if they've got a spare room, take on a student and make some extra money on the side. I mean, this is the crazy thing. I mean, and what are we getting? We're getting politicians that are, I believe, some of the Western Australian politicians. They've got they're going to take a $40,000 trip over to Europe to investigate something over there or something or other. I mean, just money goes left, right, and centre to every other cause other than housing the Aussie community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to come back to the point you made about building construction firm failures, because this for me is the real critical issue, right? They are obviously very up much against it now, because the banks are charging a lot more if they can get any development loans, and the banks are actually dialing back their ability to support the construction industry. We also know that a good number of them got themselves committed to projects that were completely profitless, and of course since then costs have gone up, and cost of labour, cost of materials, and their ability to be able to pass those on to the end consumer is also very much limited now because of the higher interest rates, because people just can't get bigger mortgages. So this is yet another example of how this is playing out to the detriment of the broader community. And what I'm interested in is what the circuit breakers are, because I agree with you. At the moment, what's happening is there's a lot of little bits going off left, right, and centre, but there's no joined up thinking, there's no big picture thinking, and certainly this whole idea of building sufficient infrastructure to be able to support the higher numbers of people, I'm talking about roads and shopping centres and schools and other things that you need, because what's happening at the moment is that we're just throwing more and more coal on the furnace, but we're not thinking about where the heat's going, right? And we're not thinking about the consequences for the rest of the economy. And I come back to this other point that, you know, Australians should understand that the Australian economy is houses and holes, right? It basically is two things. It's property and it's digging resources up out of the ground and flogging them overseas. That's what we do. And our economic base has got narrower and narrower and narrower over the last few years. Unfortunately, of course, what that means is that with China looking weaker economically and perhaps not demanding so much from the way of the resources, then more and more falls back onto houses and property and construction. And so you can understand what the government is doing in the short term, but it's so short-sighted that we're going to end up with a train wreck. And it's just a matter of whether it's a slow train wreck or a fast train wreck.
Look, the other thing that I've been thinking about over the last week or so is the Mexican standoff. Potentially, we could end up with a, look, and this, and I say it, potentially, we could end up with what's happening over in California, where, you know, they've got a huge Mexican standoff there in California, where there's only been 1% of our properties or so being transacted in the last quarter. And you know, this that really, really low numbers. So potentially we could end up with a very cold and frosty spring with regards to numbers on market for sale. I know there's, you know, the mortgage cliff is really going, is, you know, we've gone into that period now where it's really just waiting to see what happens. But we could end up with a very, you know, like I said, a Mexican standoff where people won't want to sell. They'll do whatever it takes to stave off the banks and try and negotiate whatever they can, whatever they will. They'll sell their firstborn if they have to, because at the end of the day, Martin, where do they go? Where do people go? Where do the people that have, you know, lived in an area for 40, 50, 60 years, the whole life, grown up in you know, they're the second generation in a home. I mean, where do they go in order, you know, if they downsize, if they, you know, with the empty nesters? And this is a question that I keep on asking over and over again. And if we're not building, if it's too costly to build, again, where do they go? And if, you know, then you're going to get people gravitating towards the shoddy, dicky, you know, high-rise developments that they wouldn't have otherwise bought. But what choice do they have? You know, there's no other choice other than buy a caravan and find a local caravan park in the area where you want to stay, right? Because it's getting tighter, and you can't really say that we're running out of land, right? You can't really say that you're running out of land, but yeah, there's no infrastructure out west. But you also got the other issue that's not really talked about that I've been talking about for over 8 years, and that is the big developers that have got huge parcels of land, you know, all up probably, you know, between, you know, 50,000 and 75,000 blocks of land that they drip feed into the market. More towards Windsor and those areas, and they drip feed into the market because obviously they want to keep the prices up, but they can't because those blocks have been in the family for over 40, 50, 60 years. So this is all that's playing out, and like you rightly say, Martin, it's really favouring the construction industry to an extent. A lot of the young people that want to get into, you know, house the family, house themselves, have somewhere, something to call home, are just getting pushed by the wayside. It's not helping. These policies are not helping, anybody. And I said, God forbid that we walk into a cold spring in terms of listing numbers, and we end up with a Mexican standoff. It's just going to be watch this space, because the you know, there's a lot of and look, it's not only the Wichita Chatterers that are coming in with money. There's also a lot of other ethnic groups that are coming in with money as well. That as soon as they come, they buy. They don't necessarily make the mainstream media because they're not into the $3-5 million properties to knock down and rebuild. Yeah, but they're further afield. They're in the Blacktown areas, and your other Asian communities in, you know, your Cabramatta and areas of the around those, you know, those suburbs where they gravitate towards their ethnic communities. and they buy. They come in. They cashed up. They're buying. And if people think that they're buying with 5 or 10%, I mean, Dusty's got a bridge to sell them. You know, they're coming in with 30, 40%. You know, they're coming in with a fair bit of cash. And unfortunately, that translates into a market that's got very low listing numbers on market into people paying higher prices and the locals being priced out of having a roof over their heads.
Absolutely, which takes us nicely on to the discussion on numbers. It is a bit interesting. We are seeing a slight uptick. So if you look at Sydney numbers, Monday the 24th, 15,153, compared with the 17th of July, 14,892. So we've seen a bit of an uptick. And this, of course, is consistent with what CoreLogic was saying, although the numbers are still relatively down from where they were last year.
Yeah, they are. Look, and look, at the end of the day, it's also only reflecting about 250 in the Sydney region, right? I'm still of the belief that look, people are hopefully we're going to see another 2,000-3,000 homes for sale. I'm talking about freestanding homes in the Sydney market. Likewise with apartments. But again, I go back to the Mexican standoff. If there's no choice for those that are selling, we could be in a lot of we could be waiting a little bit longer for a lot more numbers to come on market. It may be a summer spring season, but look, it is moving in the right direction. Not as fast as what we'd like it to move, but it is moving north nonetheless. Melbourne, on the other hand, Melbourne's starting to really pick up a bit of momentum, Martin. So as I said, it's one of those things. I think a lot of people are going to start dumping investment properties in Melbourne. And there's a lot of people going to be potentially continue to migrate out of Melbourne as well.
Yeah, well, Melbourne is, if you look at the 17th of July, 22,025, compared with the 24th of July, 22,406. So again, not a huge uptick, but a bit of an uptick. And it's, with everything that's going on down there, I think you and I both expect those numbers to go quite a lot higher quite quick.
Yeah, look, the numbers, the overall numbers in Sydney is about 250 or 270. Of an uptick, but Melbourne has really, clocked 400. and they do have a lot more. They've almost got double the amount of houses on market than what we have, which is rather, rather interesting. And again, the parcels of land have also gone up, from that were averaging around 3,600. Now they're up to 3,756. So that's also rather interesting. It's again, it's really just keeping an eye on the numbers. The auction numbers have come up a bit now. We've gone past the school holidays. People are a little bit more motivated to sell. By way of auction, and it's really. They don't say much other than just, for me, they're just silly numbers. When you compare it to the amount of properties that are on the market on a daily basis for sale, when you look at the small amount, still a small amount of sale by auction numbers, but it gives us a little bit of an indication of what people are thinking. And again, we could get closer to the 1,000 or 1,200 that we saw in spring last year, and again, that would mean that the listings on market for sale would have increased a bit more as well, to give the buyers a bit more of a choice.
Absolutely, and it's quite an interesting observation. Again, going back to that AFR article, they were at pains to sort of highlight the fact that there was still quite a good clearance rate, but of course, the numbers were. still a long way down. So these clearance numbers really are completely meaningless. And looking at the Sydney rentals, in fact, there were slightly less properties actually listed for rent compared with last time we looked. So again, it shows you that the rental sector is pretty tight.
Yeah, it is. You're going to get a little bit more movement in the rental arena now as you get to the tail end of winter. I mean, we've got another 4 or 5 weeks to go in winter, right? But towards the tail end, because it takes about, when you make an application for a rental, or you there's basically 3 weeks in between, 21 days in between to make the move and so forth. So look, if it means that people are going to be more active and we might end up seeing a lot more properties taken off the market, and we could see a lot less properties on market. But then again, we've also got the situation where, how many of these homes that are for rent are going to be slotted over into the for sale side of the ledger and being sold off, and being bought by the WeChat chatterers to convert into budget accommodation. It's scary because the numbers, at the end of the day, it's not a big, they're not big numbers. When you look at the the Sydney population, when you look at the amount of dwellings in Sydney, when you look at all that, it's really not a lot of properties that have been transacted for sale or transacted for rent, given the amount of people that are needing to be housed. There's not a lot. I mean, the governments really have to ramp up, stop talking all the BS that they keep on talking, and start putting shovel to the ground, start doing something. Because from the time that they put shovel to the ground, it'll take 2 to 3 years to get an occupation certificate to occupy, and even then, things are we're not building as much as what's required. I mean, they can talk big, but nothing's being delivered.
No, spot on. And that's, of course, the issue, isn't it? Political talk is easy, but it doesn't necessarily translate into anything particularly useful. And no. You might have heard a few noises off. I don't know whether you did, but I will just show you. This is the studio at the moment, and just behind me, Luna is absolutely out cold, but she got up a moment ago and did a sort of a 360 degree turn, a big shake, and then went down and hunkered back again. So that was the noise, if you heard it.
No, I didn't, to be honest.
Okay, well, that's good.
I saw you moving your head around, checking something, but I didn't hear it.
Very good. All right. Well, as we come to the end of the show, of course, tip of the week, Edwin. What's your tip of the week this week?
The tip of the week. I think it's time we got our health checked, health checkups, and anything that needs to be checked, just go out and get it checked. Service the car. Service your body. Most importantly, health wise, as you get into spring and then moving into summer. I have a feeling it's going to be a very, very hot summer. So we're going to have to, and God only knows what the government's going to do to us over summer with regards to energy prices. We could be stewing inside our homes, under the heat, Martin. So it's better to be healthy. Get your health checked now before you get to that. Before the government stews you alive. So it's just something that came up because of quite a number of friends and relatives that have I've been talking to during the week. They've had all sorts of ailments, so I figured, I better go and get myself checked up as well. So I've made my appointments with my specialist for next week. I've already seen had my dental appointment, which I hate seeing the dentist. It's not so much, there's no pain, it's just that drill that when you're even getting your teeth cleaned, it's that drill that touches your teeth. It's just that sensation just sends shivers down my spine. Anything that needs to be checked, get it checked.
Yeah, good advice, Edwin. Yes, I've got my dentist and I due for a session. I had a one of my inlays drop out the other day, which was very annoying. So I'm hoping that they'll be able to just glue it back in, but I suspect they'll say, ooh, it's going to cost you. We'll see. But the point is, yes, you've got to, you know, look after your health and make sure that you get those checks sorted out. And I think also I'd extend it slightly and say, same for property, right? It's very important to, if you've got a property, just walk around and just, you know, have a look at it with open eyes, because what tends to happen is that you essentially get so close to the property that you don't necessarily fully understand what's going on. Have a look, walk around, look at the roof, look at the eaves, look at the rainwater goods, and just make sure that things are actually where they should be. Because if you're going to have a very hot summer, one of the things you're going to get are very heavy storms. And if you're going to get very heavy storms, then the water needs to run away effectively, or you're going to have severe trouble. So, you know, health checks for the property as well as for the individual.
Oh, well said, Martin, 100%. And that the health check for the property won't cost you more than $550, $600. Just get your local building and pest inspector that does your building and pest reports when you buy, and they can do the same thing. And it's a worthwhile investment.
Absolutely. Well, Edwin, thank you very much for your time once again. As always, very thought-provoking show, and we'll do the same again next week. And I'm pleased to be able to say that the automation in the studio allows me to do, you know, some of these things now. I just have to learn where the buttons are, because it's in a different place on the desk, but we'll get there. But look forward to next week, and have a good week meantime.
Likewise, man. All the best.
See ya. Take care.